Should hear what Rosalie calls him. I won't. I call him Jan T, but I remember when he came over. Him and Sue was together. I'd been away with God for quite a while and came out of it just about that time, and Jan dropped in, and Sue, I remember, was fighting some horrible arthritis. Something like that through her body. And one of the first things he did when they dropped in that night was healed Sue. He never came back. Nope. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I really like that. Yeah. I was just in Hawaii with a Norval in a camp meeting. And two people who were totally blind. They were healed. They were healed just 2 weeks ago. When I'm talking about blind, big white growths over their eyes, recessed, deteriorated eyes, the kind you can't look at. Well, you're going to pray for them because the essential evidence is too great. That stuff doesn't make much difference to me anymore. We're talking about a walk of the Spirit. That the further you go into it, the more relevant things are around you. I'm talking about where the world's going, where the economy's going. It doesn't matter what anything is going. The kingdom of God remains the same. So does the economy of heaven. You find out what your source and who your source is real quick when everything changes in the natural. But what I like about this walk, it's irrelevant where anything else goes. God still goes to the same place. Well, you just don't understand how bad it is. Doesn't matter. He hasn't changed a bit. I have a bad day today. And I have a good day today. It doesn't matter. He was the same in your bad day as he was in your good day. Well, you just don't understand. Of course I don't. I've never been through anything. But there's one thing I found out. That God is the same no matter how much I vary. So I just decided that if this walk with God is going anywhere, it'll go where He is.
Right.
If you go where He is, then you're going to find out He's the same no matter what you're going through, so you might as well go over onto His side.
Yes.
Don't you think? You might as well go over to His side. Hallelujah. He's sovereignly immutable, which means immutability simply means He can't change and you can't change Him because there's nothing anywhere to a sovereign being that has the power to change Him. So you can't change Him. The devil can't. The worlds can't. The cosmos can't. The universe can't. Nothing can change Him because He's unchangeable. He doesn't need. He says there is no shadow of turning. That's a sundial, meaning He's the one that created time. Only reason you mark time is because you're a temporary creature. In this life, you think it's going to come to an end, so you mark time, but time's only a creation of His. So He doesn't have any, not even a shadow of turning. He can't change. Nothing has the power to change Him. So if you're trying to get Him to do something He can't do, you're going to be there a long time. But the thing is, if He's already done it, then what you need to do is go from where you're walking where He can't do it on in to Him where He already has.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
I had it cleaned.
You got to understand, Dave, when he's in the mind of the Spirit, flesh doesn't matter.
Last time I had a price cellophane tape on my pants. I That was in Hawaii, too. Two blind people still got healed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, in God's immutability, He's absolutely love. Yeah. Unchanging love. He's sovereignly love. He loves sovereignly and He's sovereignly love. Mm-hmm. Well, He's immutable. Yes, He can't change. And you or anybody else has the power to change Him. But He loves immutably and He's immutably love. Unchanging. In fact, His nine attributes are in each other attributes. Such as He is love.
Well, I think He has love.
He doesn't have love. He is. Mm-hmm.
But He has faith.
No, He doesn't. He's the one that backs up your faith. Faith is something given to you to believe He that is who He said He is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have faith. Somebody has to watch over the word to perform it after you believe it. He's the doer, not the believer.
Amen.
Well, He has faith.
No, He doesn't.
He's a faith God.
That's because it's your faith that moves Him. He's not going to change. You might as well go where He's at.
Well, I got a problem.
Your problem probably doesn't exist in the next place with Him. So why do you want to stay where you're at? Boy, if I was you, I'd lay hold here. Follow Jan as he follows Christ. Jan, he likes to listen to me because he knows I follow Christ. If I ever quit following him, he'd probably find out and quit listening to me.
That's right.
Doesn't make any difference to me because I don't care about anything except following him.
Amen.
Woo! Well, is he love?
Oh, you got no idea. He doesn't have love, he is.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you know he loved me the same when I was lost as when after I was saved? It says, the Father judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. Fifth chapter of John. What does he mean, he judgeth no man? Because every man has already been judged in the Son.
You mean
my sins, Hitler's crimes, warmonger, was judged in the Son. The Father judges no man because everything you could ever possibly do wrong was already carried out in judgment on the Son. All He's waiting for you to do is to accept the Son. He judges no man because He's already judged you in the Son. And you'll go free if you accept what He has done. Not just your sin to righteousness, but the Son was judged for everything. My sickness, my diseases, my lack of peace. All those things that were rooted in spiritual death, every single one of them has been judged. The Son has been judged in my place for them. Therefore, the Father judgeth no man because He's already judged you in the Son. So He's committed all judgment to the Son. Well, He loved me before I saved. He took my judgment in hopes that I would accept Him. While I was yet in sin, He gave His life for me. He loved me before I was saved. Somebody says, Brother Robinson, you mean to tell me He loves a drunk that was barely born again, just made it into skin of his teeth, didn't want to serve God, and had a deathbed repentance, and He loves him as much as the Apostle Paul? It's like spelling God with an A and a W. God said, God.
Possum Paul.
That's right. Because God is sovereignly love, loves sovereignly, immutably love, and loves immutably. He can't love Paul more than the drunk because he's the fullness of love.
But Paul did so much more.
Doesn't matter because Paul and the drunk were judged in the Son, so God loves both of them the same.
Hallelujah.
In fact, I think he made some statement like that, being no respecter of persons.
Well, God gave me favor.
What are you trying to say? That he stepped in and did something for you he wouldn't do for anybody else?
Not
Your favor was you accidentally believed him. I'd rather have it on purpose. Question isn't how much he loves me. Question is how much I love him.
That's true.
Not even the reward is based on his love for you.
True.
He's given us all the same. His reward is based on how much of his love for you that you walk out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's based on.
Yep.
Tell me about this love.
Well, one time I was outside of the love of God. I wasn't born again, so I wasn't receiving it. But then one day somebody preached about the love of God, and I stepped one step towards God, and that love manifested, and I was born again. But yet, God didn't come to me. Somebody talked me into taking a step into Him. He came to me in the respect. He said, go into all the world and preach, because he wanted himself presented to every person in the world. But that person still had to take the step. God didn't overpower him and get him born again against his will. Me and Tim, my associate, was riding down the street. We was talking about an individual, and he says, God can't overpower his will. As in, the man doesn't want it, he doesn't want God, and he wants nothing to do with him, and God doesn't come and go, pow, 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 you'll accept me and like it. Boy, when Tim said that, I mean, I know that. He can't go against a man's will. If God was going to slap the daylights out of the metal, he'd break their back and stop on it, be Adam on the way to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then hell wouldn't be full, would he? And that's what God spoke up inside of me and said. I don't know why I got excited about it. I knew it. But sometimes he consolidates something and it changes you.
Mm-hmm.
He said he can't go against that person's will. And all of a sudden this jumped out of me. That's right. If God could go against his will, there wouldn't be anybody in hell.
That's right.
Lohiske. So what did I do? They said, God loves you. And I said, I accept that. I took a step into him. He's already taken all his steps towards me when he manifested his love. I took a step in him. Now, all these years, I tried to get God to come and do something for me, and he's trying to get me to come to him where it's already done. So what happened? Boy, I found out there was more love to him than just being born again. So I orbited in that born again circle, but I never did get any closer. When all the time there's another realm that's much closer to God, and everything he has for me and his love is there. So I took another step, was filled with the Holy Ghost, introduced to the power and healing, and now I'm in orbit there. What if I want to get closer? Well, I can't get him to come to me. He's already came. So what do? I take a step and receive another realm of love. What happens there? Whole cities get born again.
Hallelujah.
Not bad for 60, huh? I remember when I was 50, I had creaky bones. Whew. Here we are. What if I take another step? Oh, God forbid. God forbid. He loves me in the Son, immutably, sovereignly. So he's already done all he's going to do for me. The journey's up to me. And if you're trying to get God to do something that he will not do, you're going to be there a long time. You can't change him because he's immutable into doing something that he will not do. But what he's already done has been manifested in the cross. So since he's already done that, you don't have to change him. So if you're not receiving it, then you're the one that needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't want to do it.
Then take the cross away.
He don't want to heal me.
Take the cross away.
He don't want to save me. Take the cross away. He doesn't love the world. Take the cross away. But if he has manifested himself, that means it's already done. You know how done this thing is? He's entered into his rest. He says, well, I finished. What are you doing resting? I got a problem! Can't you get up and do something about it? I've already entered into my rest. That's how thoroughly I have solved your problem. Hallelujah. Preaching like this is not meant for condemnation. It means there's a place in Him where you have your answer. And if you don't know how to go there, that's the next step of business.
Yes. 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 There you go. Amen.
That's what Jan was saying. Why set you here all day and die? Why would he set somewhere and finish dying?
Yeah.
He's because I'm so hungry. And he said, take a step towards me. Oh, no, I don't want to. Now you get paid later. Okay, okay. Hallelujah. This is a great thing about private worship. For the longest time, when I first taught here, I thought, ooh, I'm getting him to come. You're not getting him to come. You're getting him to manifest what he's already done. He's already came when he came through the cross.
Yes, amen.
I first started worshiping. I'd feel waves of glory and fellowship. And I'd go, ooh, I like that. I hope he stays. So I'd worship longer next time that he'd come. And I'd go, ooh, I really like that. I hope he stays longer. And come to find out, I was moving into him. And it was my faith, my walk, which is staying longer in him because he's already gave himself to me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Not up to him anymore. He's not making the decisions. He can't change. They're already made. It is up to you.
Amen.
I'm speaking out of God's righteousness. One of the people that got healed in Hawaii, her daughter brought her from a rest home. One glass eye, 84 years old, one recessed, diseased eye. Her daughter had glaucoma, deterioration of bones, pain. She's standing in the line holding her mother up, but she's blind. I said, what's wrong with you? I got glaucoma. No. Yes. And I prayed for her eyes, and God told me her bones are also deteriorating. All of a sudden, she starts screaming. I can see everything's cleared up. My pain's gone. Well, that was great. But then her mother starts screaming. I can see yellow light. What, with a glass eye and a recessed disease eye? I can see. And by that night, she could see all glow and yellow. And by that night, I was sitting up front. Maggie Hayes was introducing Noble. I was sitting right here. Noble was up there. This woman that brought these two come running up, threw herself down and said, my mother, my friend's mother, has saw our faces for the first time in 10 years.
Hallelujah.
And she said, we are beautiful.
Praise God. Amen.
That woman went to a church in Hawaii that doesn't like me. In fact, they wouldn't support the meeting because I was there. Can you imagine that? Somebody don't like me? I'm trying to reconcile it. Makes my head hurt. So this elderly lady and the other one would go there when somebody picked her up from the rest home. When I found out, she went to the church where he doesn't like me. This voice spoke to me. Now, lately I've been fighting for the last year, Mr. Destructions of Reasonings, the devil. And he put on a new coat that I wasn't real familiar with. I said, what is this? And God said, the coat of impersonation. He's going to do his best job now to try to impersonate God to convince you wrongly on some things.
Mm-hmm.
like he did Carlton. Now, I don't mind mentioning that only because I tried not to, and the unction of the Holy Spirit would not let me get by without not teaching publicly Carlton Pearson and his stand that Muslims are saved. Nevertheless, doesn't matter. A spirit of impersonation comes, and he'll wear a destructions of reasonings coat and an impersonation coat, and he says, "I'm God." It's the same thing as the Elisha to come syndrome, when men will stand up all of a sudden like Dowie did and Branham and actually believe near the end of their life because their ministry so were unique and unusual that they were Elisha to come. Now that syndrome of Elisha to come generally is based on self-exaltation, and self-exaltation is as addictive as cocaine. If I let people put me on a pedestal, or you do, and then the same people try to take your pedestal away, buddy, you'll get lawyers, guns, and knives. You give me my exaltation back, or I'll blow you away. Give it back. Put me back up there. Put up in it. Now you think you are getting done with you. It's the difference between a servant's heart. That self-exaltation is addictive as cocaine. Man starts tasting of it uncontrolled, you have to watch out because he opens himself up to impersonation. That's the final temptation of Jesus. Look at the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I'll give them to you. Fall down and worship me. No thanks. That Elisha to come syndrome? Not enough to be an apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist. Oh, no. You've got to be a voice between Christ and the church. You're so great. I hate that spirit of impersonation. My friend Ruth Heflin in the early days, Susie Woodman, which had a church in Jerusalem on the Arab side. And whenever an Elijah to come would rise up in a nation, they always liked to head for Jerusalem to fulfill their destiny. So they found out there was a church there with some missionaries. They had a prophet's chambers. So one day Elijah to come beat on their door and said, "I'm Elijah to come from nation so-and-so. I heard you have a prophet's chamber." He said, "Yes, it's right upstairs. Go make yourself at home." So the next day, there's a beat on the door. "I'm Elisha to come from another nation. I heard you have a prophet's chamber." She says, "Another one got here yesterday." "Go on, you can bunk with him." We talk in spirit of impersonation. So I found out this elderly lady that was healed of blindness went to the church where he doesn't like me. And all of a sudden this voice said, "God is exalting you. He is vindicating you. The reason he healed that woman was to vindicate you in their eyes." Just as soon as all that mess was done, God spoke up with clarity in my spirit and says, "Son, if you think that I need a reason to heal that woman, the devil's going to give you 10,000 reasons why I won't heal anybody."
True. You betcha.
I went, "Yeah, yeah, the only reason you need is you paid the price for them, and when they believe that, they'll be healed." Well, what does healing entail? Healing and believing it entails you believing what he said about it. "Well, I'm doing something wrong." Well, if he requires you to make it right to get healed, make it right. But the reason he healed you is because he went to the cross and provided it for you when he bore your sicknesses and carried your pain. You let the devil give you 10,000 reasons why he won't, he'll shut you down at the gate. Because you'll always wonder whether he'll do it or not. Well, I got some good news for you. He will. I like the man, the last one I think we prayed for at the men's advance. I call that one an advance. Most of them I call a retreat. Some of them, they're having around a nation. They lose God. They don't gain Him. Hallelujah! They lose Him. It's my friend. One day we'll preach together. Hallelujah. One day. Yes, Radama. I will, Father, thank you. This man, the last one to be healed, I really got a kick out of it. I said, "What's wrong with your ear?" He said, "It had two tumors gross in it." I said, "Well, what did they do?" He said, "They removed them." And I said, "What else?" He said, "Everything. Eardrum, the little tuning fork in there. A little tuning bone that vibrates." I said, "They removed everything?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You got nothing to hear with?" "No." "Like that happened to two of them." "You got nothing to hear with?" "No." So, of course, at that point, he didn't tell me that MS had activated in his body. He didn't tell me that, but he didn't need to. He just grabbed him by the head like that. My hand over his ear. Felt the waves of his glory come. You know, you're familiar with that. Our witnessing teams, they go out and witness. Different times I tell about the miracles they have, like the child on the front lawn with hearing aids as big as his ears. And they approached him. The mother ran out of the house. "What are you doing with my child?" And they said, "Ma'am, we'd like to pray." "It
wouldn't do any good, the doctor said. I've got a bit."
"Ma'am, just let us pray." "Well, do you think it's strange? When he healed the child, the whole family got born again."
Hallelujah.
But then again, that's the way you witness, isn't it? Had him in a clamp hole like a vice, kind of pressing his head out of there. In the name. Then I went. Jesus. He went. "I heard you. I heard you." And he slid down on the floor. And after a while, when he was able to get up, and we used to talk about it a little bit, he said something about the MS, and then he slid down on the floor again. And he tried to get up, and Butler tried to help him, and they almost both slid down on the floor. "Well, what do you think when he creates everything in your head?" And he did that to two, and gives their hearing back.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You had to come back to that other thing. 50th.
Yeah.
It's okay. To do it again. Then no, so is it. He doesn't need a reason. He's already judged every man in the cross. So the Father judges no man. He's not deciding whether to do it or not, because he's already laid why he won't do it on Jesus and punished him for it. So when you ask, he can do it for you. How shall he who spared not his own son, shall he not with him? I like this part, don't you? Freely? You like this part? Freely? Freely? Give you all things? You like that part? How shall he who spared not his own son earnably give you all things? Workably, for work's sake, he'll give you all things. How shall he who spared not his own son, if you don't have any problems, give you all things? How shall he who spared not his own son, if you were a real nice fellow, give you all things? No. What do you think? When he came into your life, he's looking for a perfect person? That's why he came, because you were imperfect. When you were born again, that was just the beginning of the power of the life. You think that he expected you to be perfect in all your actions the day you was born again? Yes, but I don't think you know that. No, he came because you were imperfect. And I might as well tell you, you may have a lot of faults, but God loves his fellowship with you even in the journey. Well, I got problems. Welcome to the Joy Club. You spend one day not worshiping and fellowshipping with him because of some ugly thing you did yesterday, then you wasted the day. He knew he wasn't perfect yesterday. He knows you're not perfect today. So you just waste time if you don't fellowship with him. Let me tell you something about your faults and your little sins. They don't go away with will worship. They go away through fellowshipping with God. So because you called out of a hell hole and you won't worship him today, well, I don't feel worthy. You wasn't worthy yesterday. You wasn't worthy the day before. And you won't be worthy tomorrow in yourself. So if building yourself up in him is the answer to your sins and your problems, why do you break fellowship with him when you've got problems?
My sin drove a wedge in between me and him.
Only because you won't let him in to the place where the thing dies that's cutting your fellowship off. You know what synthetic righteousness is? Synthetic righteousness is when you try to be good enough in your own self and your own strength and then ask God for something.
Well, I can't pray that prayer the way I've been living lately.
Any day you do not spend with him and seeking him, no matter what you did yesterday, is a day you wasted, because your problems and sins fall away when God becomes greater than they are in your life. Meanwhile, you think he doesn't love the fellowship with you? You think he doesn't love the journey? He loves it. But I'm full of faults. He'd fellowship with me in a hot second. He came looking for you when you were a sinner.
For some of you, you're thinking, oh man, all I had to do is be a little mean, then I didn't have to pray because I knew God wouldn't hear me and he took that away.
Well, I love the prodigal son. Really, the parable wasn't about the prodigal son, it was about the elder brother.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
Butler has some teachings coming up here these next few months. When you finish the one you're on?
Yeah.
It's going to knock their socks off, isn't it? Cleared the whole mystery of the resurrection up.
As in what? Who was the guys that come out of the grave in Matthew?
In Jesus' resurrection. The body of the saints appeared to many. Well, what did he do? Turn them back into corruption and put them in the grave? Are they in heaven glorified? If the dead in Christ rise first in Thessalonians, then where are you at when you die? Are you laying in the cold grave waiting? Well, then you mean you're going to come back and he's going to take your body out of the grave? Oh. Well, what if you were blown up in Hiroshima by the atom bomb? Do you have an answer for all them, everyone? Every single one. This is why Butler's excited when he was talking about. He can't get it out of his mind because we've been talking these last 2 days, 3 days, 2 days, really, at the conference a little, of the mystery that he's broke for me. On the born-again trail, when it came time on the trail for God to have me understand the resurrection, then he put the limb on.
Yes, thank you.
But I couldn't understand it without the foundation. But Butler got somewhat excited because for the first time, all the pieces to the puzzle fit. And this is what he determines. Butler evaluates it with the entire Word of God. The entire. I do too. So when we talk about the prodigal son, and say it's the elder brother, incredibly divided to them their inheritance. They said, here, you both received the same thing at the same time. And the younger says, I think I'll go waste my father's inheritance, my living on women and riotous living. So he did. Later, he referred to him as my son who is lost has now been found. But he ended up and would fain, I just love King James, and would to fain, but he ate the husks. I mean, he ended up eating the slop that Gentiles fed to their pigs. Now, you can't get any lower. You have to understand, you cannot get any lower. That's, for a Jew, you can't fall anymore. I mean, you're not eating swine, you're eating with them. So he comes to himself with the swine. My father has servants that live better than I. I think I'll go home. Father has seen him a long ways off. He told his servants, prepare the fatted calf. They ran out, kissed him on the cheek, and clothed him. My son who is lost has been found. Humorously, you know, I was thinking about the fatted calf, who the fatted calf is, and I think it's the prosperity move. Killed it. He offered it up for the salvation of the lost. Killed the fatted calf and offered him up in the celebration for the lost that was coming in. Don't get me wrong, I just didn't want to be limited by the prosperity move. I needed all of his inheritance. Thank you. I didn't want to do whatever could talk men out of. That's where the power is coming from now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, the father was so excited. And the elder brother heard the loud celebration and the shouting and cheering. And he says, what means this? He said, oh, your brother who's lost, he's come back. Your father's killed the fatted calf and he wants you to come to the celebration. No. So the father come and entreated him. Please, come. Come, your brother's come home. And we killed a fatted calf for him. He says, I've never transgressed not even one of your commandments. You've never killed a fatted calf for me. He said, son, all I've ever had is yours. You just didn't know me well enough to know that. Because you based your relationship with me on your works. Well, your brother has based it on the grace that has made him my son. Hallelujah. All I've ever had has been yours the whole time. The younger son broke relationship and fellowship, essence, Fellowship is two fellows in the same ship because they want to be.
True.
They like each other.
Yes.
Relationship is a couple of relatives thrown in the same ship by the same gene pool. Now, you might be a child of God. But make sure you're not thrown in the boat with him only because of relationship.
That's right.
Oh, whoa.
That's right.
Now, the younger brother broke relationship and broke fellowship. But the older one never broke relationship, but he never had fellowship.
True, that's right.
So he based his relationship with his father on his works. But the younger owned the grace that made him his son. He came home because he knew it was his. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tunke sarabraja. Hallelujah, we're about done here. Turn over with me. All I did was just preach all the whole message before I read any verses. Going over to 1 Peter, 4th chapter. Let's cap this thing. 4th chapter of Peter. When we begin here, it'll be at the 12th verse. He says, "Beloved, I think it not strange." I really love this verse. He ministered it to me personally. That's why I love it so much. In fact, let's back up to 11, and I'll only be just a few minutes on this, unless it changes everything. 11th verse says, "If any man speak, let him speak in the oracles of God. Any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom praise and dominion is forever and ever given." Amen. And now, isn't that something that he felt compelled to record the 12th verse right after being real faithful to God and doing all things because he has all dominion according to the ability given you? Isn't it something that he felt compelled to record the 12th verse? Mm-hmm. "Beloved, in all this faithfulness of yours, you're so humble and so serving and so kind. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you." Isn't this interesting? "But rejoice, insomuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when the glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. For as you reproach for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But don't let any suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be shamed, but let him..." Pretty good indication that you're making the beeline for the heart of God is what the devil starts doing to you. When Jan first... when he first realigned himself again, the devil came... I said, "Well, Butler, that's a good sign. This means you're heading in the right direction. You're worthy to be stopped. What's the point of a reward if there was nothing to overcome?" He says something very interesting then. "For the time has come," in the 17th verse, "that judgment must begin at the house of God." Now you have to remember, this was written in Peter's lifetime. When we say judgment must begin in the house of God, we're thinking the end time. But he was talking about his day, which meant when the church gets into this stuff, it cycles into a realm of judgment. And this is what he was talking about. Follow it closely. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And people say, I don't understand that. I'm a righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, I'm really saved. How can he say if I'm scarcely saved? I mean, I just don't understand this. What he was saying here, if the church is not getting by with sin, if they're not getting by with it, then where does that leave the ungodly and the sinner? For if the righteous doesn't get by without escaping judgment, then where is that going to leave the sinner to appear in eternity? That's all he was saying. Now, isn't this interesting when he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. And about the time you really sell out, here these things come. He said, don't think it strange. Would you define the word strange for me? Well, certainly. Here you are doing all these things. You've never been so dedicated. Now, I'm going to take this. I'm an usher. I'm a giver. I'm doing that. Sure, you need volunteers. I do that too. I'll build you a church. I'll pick people up and bring them. Man, I've never tried so hard. Definition of strange thing. Right in the middle of all this selling out you're doing. Definition. The devil walks out. God is standing here. You're standing there. The devil walks over, reaches down, picks you up like this, raises you above his head, and gives you a body slam. And about that time, you're shaking yourself and you look up at God. He's just standing there going. So you're looking up like I could use some help anytime. So about that time, the devil starts going. And you're looking up at God anytime. Just anytime. Anytime you feel led to come and get this thing off of me, it would be most welcome. That's the definition of strange thing. You couldn't be doing any better, and everything goes wrong. When he first showed this to me, he said, son, the reason I showed you this is because I saw it. He said, I'm going to ask you a question, boy. Is there any religion in you? I prided myself in having none. Look at my clothes. Butler mentioned square shoes yesterday and almost not wore these. I'll go back to my $29 Kmart. Said, any religion in you, boy? I prided myself. I said, I don't think so. He says, is there anything in you that's accusing me? Is there anything in you that says, as God, I am sovereign and I can do it, but I won't? I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. He says, I'm not talking about your mouth, boy. I'm talking about your heart. I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. And when I was seeing the body slam and God standing there and everything, he lifted his finger like this, and I can't tell you how I saw him, but I could. He lifted his finger like this and he said, don't accuse me, son. Don't accuse me. And he says, any religion left in you? I said, no, sir, I don't think so. Is there anything in you that says I can, but I won't? I said, don't accuse me. And then he said something to me I'll never forget. He says, like Job's comforters, many are saying things about me that are not true. When I broke the mystery of the resurrection,
Norval Hayes Bible College has a theologian that brought it accredited. And he asked me, he says, when you're going down a highway of thinking like the teachings on resurrection that can't fill all the middle parts in, and who the guys were that jumped out of the grave in Matthew, and just all what's going on, where's who? And you're walking down this highway of their teaching. He asked me, how does God snag you? How does He change your thinking? How does He get through to you? How does He get you off the highway so He can teach you the truth on it? I thought about it for a minute and I said, first of all, I think you pray the mystery out in tongues. I says, and then that releases God to reveal it. He says, well, do you ever have visions? I said, oh, yes. I said, and come to think of it, what broke the resurrection is He snagged me with a vision. Now, I'll just give you this part of it. At the creation of Adam, all the natural kingdom, animals and everything, they came through a natural strand of DNA. But in this vision, I saw the kingdom of God merge with the natural. I saw the strand of DNA that Adam came from, and I saw another spiritual strand of DNA come and merge with the one, which merged the entire kingdom of God together with the natural in one man called Adam. Mm-hmm. And it took off from there until the resurrection was broken. Yes, God was saying, don't accuse me, son. Don't accuse me. And then all of a sudden, I sat in there with a baby that had blind eyes and they were recessed and diseased. And since that time, two or three blind people has been healed. And this has only been 4 months. But let me tell you, about a month ago at the revival I had before I come up here through Crystal River, and I've lost track now. What miracle was where, even at this camp meeting when there was no eardrums, the retreat, the advance. But let me give you 1 week. A 17-year-old boy with MS had it for 4 years. Seven years he had it. And 4 of the years he couldn't talk and was restrained to a wheelchair. The next morning when he woke up, he called for his daddy from the bedroom, and the next day he was dressed, running around town as a 17-year-old. The next day, there's a man from the rehab program was sitting in the back with his arms folded like this, just glaring. Well, that afternoon, he fell down and fractured his knee in several places and his foot. So now he's all casted in the night service. So he's not back there like this because he can't. But he did come up to the front, and when we prayed for the man, it came to the program to get free of dope. All of a sudden, he puts pressure on his toe that was sticking out of a soft cast with about 50 x-rays they had to take of him. So the soft cast and swollen foot, when the swelling is going down, they're going to put a hard cast. It goes like that. And why, Frank, who is Don Gotti's ex-bodyguard that's over our rehab now in Florida, he belongs to Jesus now. He gets all these x-rays, and when we prayed, he's watching the foot, and the swelling goes, and he puts his foot down like that and peels the cast, throws the crutches, starts running around. That night, he had his work clothes on for the fellowship. He went home to his family, and the whole family sold out to God. Now they're in church. A woman with a fractured foot, a woman that needed hip replacements. Then the councilman of Crystal River 6 months before that was sitting in the back in a wheelchair with his personal male nurse. Had to be strong enough to lift him. All of a sudden, I spun around and yelled, get up! He got up. Any religion in you, son? Anything that believes I can, but I won't. And all of a sudden, in that inner vision, that thing, it comes. You can see it in your spirit. But you know it's from Him. Materializes inside. You can see it. I can see you, but I can see it. I was holding a baby and his eyes was diseased. They were also recessed, highly diseased. He said, now, you pray for this baby and he's not healed. I'm God, I'm sovereign, I'm who I am.
Are you saying that I could heal this child and didn't? You're going to blame it on the parents? No. You're going to blame it on the child? No, it's not the child's fault. You're going to blame it on the parents? It might be their fault, but he's not holding the child accountable. Do you believe I can and won't in my sovereignty? Is that what you believe? Huh? Do you? Well, it seems to me it's just a little child that you could stir any religion in you, son. So I prided myself in not having any, but obviously I do. And if you don't heal this child, it's because you couldn't. He said, what do you think of my character, boy? You think I'd leave him groping around in the darkness if I could do something about it? Then it boils down to me. You couldn't find enough in me. I didn't get an answer for that, because I should already know it. Is there any religion in you, boy? Not as much as there used to be. That you broke out in a flurry of miracles like I've never seen before. Woman in our church, 13 years in 10,000 prayer lines, got hit in the head with a golf ball.
Yes.
Fractured her skull all the way down. Couldn't even drive to church and had to put ice packs on her for the migraines. 13 years. Prescription medicine quit working. She's destined to live with the pain. 100 prayer lines. The woman fasted and prayed quite a lot. That service, I saw a vision of the pain, of everything about it. A line came up. She was in the line. She busted into the office that night and says, you've got to understand. I can see it doesn't hurt. It's all healed. The next day, it was Sunday, she come back and testified, or the day after. She said, I went home and slept 10 hours. Where was the difference? She had been believing all along. I'd been believing all along. What happened? He said, son, I'm talking to you out of another realm now. You've not understood my righteousness, but you're beginning to. Don't accuse me, boy. And if you won't, eventually you'll understand everything pertaining to what is yours. Turn into the first chapter for a minute. How about the 7th verse? The trial of your faith? How many can testify you tried harder than you ever did before and the devil body slammed you? How many's ever had that happen? The devil's not resisting you. That's when I'd worry. That means you're being hurted. Seventh verse says that the trial of your faith being more, what's more precious than gold that perishes? My faith. Gold has a perishing point. My faith doesn't. You can send gold into the sun and it'll dissipate. But he called my faith more precious than the gold. Why? Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glorying at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Gold has a perishing point. My faith and your faith does not, though the devil, circumstances, and the world put it on trial. I have good news for you. It has no perishing point.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Whew. Thomas, stand up. Throw your hands up. And worship God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mo te do kuransha da ker.
Hallelujah, Jesus. When God said that I am, He said, I'm simply the sum total of everything that is, was, or ever will be. When He said, He that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is who? That He is who He said He is in the Son when He said, I am. He said, I am the sum total of all that is, past, present, and future. And Paul in Hebrews 11 said, you come to Him, you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. That He is who? That He is everything that He said that He is through the cross. When He said, I am. If you can't settle it inside of you, that 2,000 years ago, He bore your sicknesses and carried your pain. That He is who He said He is when He said, I am. Then how are you going to stay in there and believe that He is a rewarder? Because if you can't settle it in your spirit that He's already done this, where are you going to get the guts to stay in there till it's done? You know, I'm not quite sure. Once you settle it inside, once and for all, He finished this thing at the cross. I believe that He is who He said He is in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus when He set me free. Now, I believe that He is who He said He is, so I've got the guts to stay in there for the reward until the fight is over.
Whew. Glory, hallelujah.
Woo. But when I'm believing that He is who He said He is, when He said, I am in my dispensation, in the cross, I've got the guts to stand for the reward. Because I believe He is who He said that He is. Tulsa is my house, and it's not going to go to hell while I live there. I fully intend on stopping it.
You got big hopes.
That's why I put them into God's hands. Well, some things belong to God, and all the glory is one of those things. So lift your hands up.
When's the best time to begin?
Now. Best times to begin now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that I'm healed. I believe I'm full of peace. Yes, I have all those things you said I have because you said that I have them. Hallelujah. I'm embarking on a journey. I don't care how many times I get body slammed. I'll get up and not wave one finger at you. And I'll win, and I'll win, and I'll win, and I'll win. Yes, my faith has no perishing point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I worship You and glorify You and praise You and magnify You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I can hardly stand it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Manda sulata. Tukilitomatasa. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you have pain anywhere in your body, stay on your feet. And the rest of you may be seated. So what did you feel come? Same thing. Give the man the eardrum. Don't you see? Ulemahaski, you got something in your body causing pain. But I tell you what, God has given that thing a death sentence. It's got no right to stay in your body. How many setting believes God's going to sweep through here in a minute and remove so much pain that the devil is going to be one sick fellow about the whole thing? I worship you and glorify you, and I thank you for the waves of your presence, the manifestations of your glory and the presence of everything that you are. I thank you for the absence of religion that was designed by men, Father, to take our faith away. Not you. Not you. Not you. And never, like Jan G. Butler, Father, never have I been so on fire. I'm not burning out, I'm burning in. After 30 years of meeting myself in airports, it's getting stronger and better every moment. Father, I'd have been dead in stubble and hay had I not found you in your walk. Jesus. I'm not afraid of my faults and shortcomings anymore. Because I found out that they don't have a chance. I've got to look at His righteousness. He's not against me, He's for me. Father, in the power and might of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every pain-causing affliction, disease. Be healed! Now, I speak a creative miracle. And Father, I thank you for every kind of pain dissipating because you have destroyed the cause of it in Jesus' name. Now some things belong to God, so slide those hands up and start worshiping Him and thanking Him that it is done. How many setting believes He did anything? Well, how many had a good time this morning? Alright, start checking yourself out. Bend, twist, gouge, poke. Do what you couldn't. Do what you couldn't. Bend, twist, gouge, poke. Bend over, do the twist. What did Fats Domino say 5 or 6 years ago? Come on, baby. Maybe it was a little longer than that. I don't know. Maybe it's a little longer, but not too much. Where's the pain at? Where's the pain? Huh? Is it there? Hallelujah. I saw a key. Turn it. Turn it. I'm not too ashamed. One time I was stuck in a ditch. God come by and handed me a key. I said, aren't you going to get me out of the ditch? He said, turn the key. Because you didn't give me. He turned the key. Look at me. Turn the key. I said, oh. You can find them in the Word. Turn them. You may be seated. Hallelujah.
everyone whose pain left your body. I'm having a good time. Everyone whose pain left your body during that wave of glory, stand back up, please. Ooh, Jan P. Butler. Stay standing. Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Let me just get a couple of etiquette. Let me get a couple of edification reports so we can separate the glory to Him sufficiently. I'm getting so blessed I can hardly talk. And what kind of pain did you have?
I have a really pounding headache.
Pounding headache? Mowing, mowing. Yes. It's a reoccurring thing from time to time. What's the good part about this? Not only did it leave, but the reoccurrence that caused it to reoccur left with it. I also saw something turn loose right down here. Right down there. So you're pounding. The early Church of God, they had poundings because a lot of farmers didn't deal in money. They didn't have any, so they pounded. Wasn't the same kind. They would bring a percentage of the corn, the chickens, the eggs. Called it pounding. Us preachers do find out how to get your stuff, don't we? What kind of pain did you have?
I hurt my back last night lifting a patient, and I had pain in the left lower part of my back and down into my hip, but
oh,
it's totally gone.
Totally gone. Whew. See, the word's true. If you have patience, you'll be healed. Hallelujah! I can't contain the joy. I'm sorry. I can't help what form it comes out in. Hey, little one. What kind of pain did you have?
I had pains in my back and in my wrist from slouching over a computer and having my hands like
that. Ooh, I think that's got a name for it. Carpal. That's right. Come here. Now tell me about that and. This one?
Like,
when you go like that, well, they should do something.
It's like that on the mouth.
For your typewriter. It should be up here at the same angle your hand is. It shouldn't be like that. And it would hurt you up through here?
Just right here at the joint.
And that's where you were hurting today? And it is?
Not hurting.
It is not hurting. Hallelujah. You did angle your back. Raise your hands, little one. He just wants to heal you in this so that you know that you're healed. You're already healed. He's taken the pain. But he wants to do something for you. I want you to look up. Look what you did. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen, little one. This one's going to get longer than the other one because he's got quite a bit to straighten out. Then the other one will catch up, but you're going to be a little taller then. You ready? Ready? You watch. Just watch and pray. You watch, I pray. Are you watching? Ready? Jesus! Oh, well, you didn't do that, and I didn't. Now look at that. Does this mean you're going to be a quarter of an inch taller? Here goes the double curvature. Jesus! Oh! I believe you are a little at this thing. That's right. Okay.
You are healed, little one. Oh, absolutely. Now you know, don't you? Sir? What kind of pain?
I had an old injury that just came back after about 10 years.
That's not right.
No, lower right back.
That wasn't it. That's
been,
like...
Been bugging me for a week. Just a lot of pain in the hip.
That wasn't a visit from an old friend. That was a visit from an old enemy. Boy, he took care of that. That's what a spirit of infirmity feels like when he tries to attach himself. That was supernatural. Just know this. There's nothing wrong. But a liar came and tried to reattach. But he ran like a scalded dog during the prayer.
Hallelujah.
So don't let him come back. Hey, little one. What kind of pain?
I tore a muscle in my hip years ago.
You tore a muscle in your hip years ago?
Down in my leg. Constant pain.
Down in your leg is constant pain. Like how many years?
Six or seven years
you've had constant pain.
And it goes up into my neck and my shoulder.
You have been to your neck and your shoulder and all the way down your leg.
Headaches all the time.
And you mean
it's gone now.
You mean tell me that all left this morning?
The pain in my hip.
The pain in your hip?
It's warm.
She says it's warm and it feels really good. Butler. I know there's more good ones out there, but they're not going to make it. Some things belong to God. You think we can jump up and adequately separate the glory and the worship and the praise and the honor to Him? Let's do it! Hallelujah! Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, the eternal of ages. He that was alive and was dead and now is alive forevermore. Jesus! Jesus, we give you all the glory, all the glory, all of it, all of it.
Praise you. Glory. Hallelujah.
I hate to even begin to imagine what's going to happen tonight. Plus, I think we get to answer some things that may have been hid for a long time. But guess what they're going to spell? Absolute freedom. Woo! And then God is going to work spirit, soul, and body. There's going to be so many people leave free tonight. Just like when this and 37 people. The devil's going to leave tonight. Talking to himself. Because none of you will listen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. He told me to tell you that one little teaching. 3 minutes and I want Butler to come up then. In fact, come up here now, Janty. And since he showed me this, he hardly lets me ever not tell it, even though you've heard it. I mean, how many times do you read a certain teaching or a parable? But as you know, my little daughter Tawny is adopted, and a little pigtail thing, real cute, you know, dancing along by me. Danny, Danny, Danny. Danny, come here. The girls are different boys. Had 4 boys. One girl. She said more in 5 years than they said in all their life. That's why he said, your old men will dream dreams, they sleep more. Actually, they sleep less. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, but when he got to the woman, he said, she will use her mouth. She shall prophesy. Thank God for women when men won't do it, huh?
Yep.
Thank God for women when men will do it, huh?
That's true.
God looks at us particularly bad. Bad when we don't fulfill our role as provider and covering for the home.
Yes.
Bad. First girl, Daddy, that little pigtail's cuter than a button boy. We adopted her out of the Philippines, San Angeles, Philippines. So me and Rosie would drop her off at school, being two big old peakety melanomic Gentiles who have the worst color on the planet. Melanomic means prone to skin disorders. We can't take any sun.
Are you adopted, Tom?
She said, I used to be. And she is right. Not anymore. But he was trying to teach me the difference between covenant and sonship. He used my sons. Now my firstborn, David, he says, when he raids the refrigerator, does it based on what? I said, sonship, trust me. When he comes through, it looks like a Tasmanian devil. Food on the walls, everywhere. Does he ask? No, he doesn't ask. What's mine is his. He said, what would you do if your little baby Ton, who's adopted, came in for breakfast, reached in her little pink purse, got her makeup out of the way, mascara kit out of the way, finally pulled a roll out of her purse and unfolded it on the table. It was her adoption papers. Then she started quoting from them, telling me, I should, and she has the right to be fed breakfast. I told God it'd take her a good month to sit down. He said, if you don't get off my porch, quit yelling at the house about your rights, and come in and sit down and eat, it's going to take you more than a month to sit down. Then I found out he wanted you and the world saved more than I wanted them saved. And he has more money than I do. The book's gone crazy. Every time we get an order, it's back ordered out. So we're using all spare monies that anybody's investing in more and more books. It's been published in Hebrew now. Portuguese, Spanish, Polish. 13 translations are going on right now as we said. And I didn't approach anybody to activate any of them.
Praise God. Come forward, Esther.